Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to continue to preach in your hearing. I did not finish the message on yesterday. I ran out of time. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, a real problem, obviously. But it should not be a problem in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly after slavery, after Jim Crow, after segregation, after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a modern day prophet for America, whether you like it or not, after Billy Graham, after Tony Evans, and many others. And yet we're still dealing with this sad issue. Part 32, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 86, I will not finish this series this year. I will be closing this series down temporarily. And by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, I will resume this series in February the 1st, for 28 days, and hopefully I can finish it at that time, but I doubt it. And we will be going back to the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign proper. Day 901, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1,261 since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Holy Father God, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves, and oftentimes some of us who have the privilege of speaking and preaching in your name think that we can bring it. We think that we can get the job done within ourselves, and that is not the case, of course. And so, Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace, asking you for grace, strength, and the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, sometimes we think that we can deliver the goods, because with your help we have done it so many times in the past. So Lord, help us not to think foolishly like that today. Have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us and cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray that you will fill me and all of us who are serving here today to get the message out to a dying and lost world, and all of the people who are listening. Fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power and the might of your Holy Spirit. And demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. And save those who are lost, who have never met you, and who have never trusted your Savior. Revive those who are saved. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that your holy name will be glorified and Jesus Christ exalted, and our enemy Satan to be horrified at the name and blood of Jesus Christ today. We pray and we ask you to rebuke Satan, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, the satanic spirit of Judas and betrayal and sabotage and Sanballat out of the lives of people who have that problem. For Lord, there are always people in a ministry like this who will try to hinder your work. They're not satisfied unless they do something to try to hinder your work. So remove that spirit from this place. Pave the way for us. And Lord, have the power of your holy gospel and your holy word to reach the ears and hearts of the people. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Piper said love is an essential part of the process of salvation. And I would add that we would not have salvation at all if it were not for the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Dr. Piper says it is not optional whether you love one another. No one can say, I am saved by faith in Christ, regardless of whether I love people or not. Nobody can say that. They can say it, but they'll be lying. They will prove to the world that they have never been born again. God gave me a thought on yesterday after I preached this message. How can you say that you are a follower of God, a believer in Christ, when God's word, the Bible, says that God is love, and yet you hate other people? Not only other people of other races. That's not what this whole series is about. It touches on it. But you hate your own family members. You hate your fellow church members. You hate your neighbors. There's a whole lot of hate going on today. You hate your political foe. I told you yesterday, I don't believe the big problem is heterosexuals, straight people hating homosexuals. I believe homosexuals hate us. And nobody can deny that. They're not trying to get along. They're trying to take over. They want you to submit to them. That is the spirit that I've been warning you about. It is a demonic spirit. They want to take over and they want to convert you. They're in the converting business. They're not satisfied doing their evil themselves. They don't want freedom and equality. They want to take over. They want you to accept their evil. And so therefore, if you don't do so, they hate you with a demonic hatred. You say, oh, preacher, you shouldn't say that. We might run the homosexuals away. Where are we going to run them to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? You need to tell people the truth. There's a whole lot of hatred going on. Half the nation, over half the nation, hates the president that we have now. Over half the nation hated the president we had before. It has flipped. And both sides act so shocked. Just a bunch of phonies. Hypocrites. Condemn one president to hell about something, and get another color president there, and you just let you give him a pass. Hatred. For the only faith which saves is faith working through love. Dr. John Piper. The only faith that saves is the faith working through love. Saving faith always gives rise to love, and love gives evidence of genuine faith. Allow me to repeat that part in your hearing. Saving faith always gives rise to love. Always. If you're truly born again, you're going to be about loving folk. Not because you are a loving person, but because you have the loving Spirit of God in you. And everybody who meets you and experiences you, they will know it. It's evident. Because love gives evidence of genuine faith. So if you are truly saved, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will love people, and people will not feel that you are a phony and a fake to them. You will not be perfect, but they will know that you are the real deal. You don't have to tell them I love you. In fact, you got to watch these people who always say I love you. Watch them. Watch them. Watch them. No. I know when you love me. Because you will treat me with the same respect as you treat your white brothers or your brown brothers. You don't have to work it up. It's real. You don't have to give me a big old slap on the back. Yeah, boy. No, you don't have to do that. No. Don't touch me. You don't have to do that to make me feel loved. Just have Christ living on the inside of you. Let it be real. I don't have to join your church. You don't have to join my church, but I know you love me. That's all that matters. I had a family member to do something real special this past week, and the least likely family member, formerly the most unloving family member, showed up and showed out. Didn't tell the person to do it, they just did it. And this is the one who tells me they love me the most, but never really showed it. And when they just showed up and did something so wonderful this past weekend, that to me shows me that you really love me. Your telling me is not good enough. Lord, help us, Lord. You're telling me it's not good enough. That's a good thing to do. I believe it ought to be done, but make sure it's real. It's backed up by real evidence. Now, and I told them, be faithful in doing that. Be consistent. That will prove your love for me more than anything, more, way more than the thousands of times you said, I love you. I appreciate that. But now you're making it real. And I want to encourage you to be consistent in that. You don't have to tell me you love me ever again if you keep on doing that right there. Dr. John McNeil, Jr., one of the greatest expositors of the Word of God in America. He said, you show me real love. He said, you don't have to write a note. If you send me an envelope with a check in it, with a note that says check enclosed, those are the most loving words that you can write. That proves that you love me. That's what he said. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, love moves. Love gives. Love shows itself. Manifests itself. And so, my beloved, in our last message in this series on yesterday, we saw how those who hate their brothers and sisters in Christ are still in the darkness of Satan and the world rather than the light of Christ. Do you love everybody? Does love come easy to you? You have to understand it should, because it's not your love. You don't have to really try to love people. It's all God's love, man. Agape love. Love everybody. But charity must begin at home. Don't love everybody at the church, but you hate your wife, you hate your husband, you hate your children, you kick your dog, you're mad as hell all the time, but you can smile and grin very easily when you get around other church folk. Get with folks on the job and you start cussing like them and acting like them. You get along with them just fine. Come home, you don't want to speak to anybody. You're mad as hell. You're a hypocrite. You're a phony. You're a fake. The love ought to be spread abroad to everybody from your heart. I have a family member who loves everybody, loves her family, loves other people, will bend over backwards to help you. Do anything she can to help you. Because they are walking in darkness, they pose a stumbling block to themselves, and because you're constantly stumbling, you're posing a stumbling block to others. You're holding up other people. There's a term in the business world called bottlenecking. Lord have mercy. You got a head of household who does not love God, does not love Jesus, does not love his wife, does not love his children, does not love other people. You got a bottlenecker. The whole situation is going to be constipated, backed up, always. You got a wife, a woman, a mother who's a Jezebel, mean as hell, mean as the devil, hates her husband, hates God, hates her children, won't say I love you to her children, won't hug her children, won't feed her children, only concerned about her wicked self. You got a bottlenecker. It's going to cause a stumbling block not only for the mother and the wife, but for the children, for the husband, particularly if he's weak. Happens all the time in churches. If you have a pastor who has a love issue, you're going to have a bottleneck on your hand. And God is the only one who really knows whether or not you love folk. For real. People can tell too, but God knows for sure. So, beloved, when we accept Christ as Savior, and believe me when I tell you, I'm doing everything I can to move on, because I get on a point, man, and just stay there for a long time. I preach every day, so I'm not in a hurry. This is my main job. This is what I do. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we believe on Christ as Savior, we ought to strive to show His love in this world. Aren't you disgusted with people at your in your family who they hate you but act like they hate, they love everybody in the church? They just smile and grin at everybody else in the church and with their buddies. And with other people on the job, and they're constantly on the phone getting all kinds of messages from God knows who. But will ignore your messages. They're getting phone calls from only God knows who. But they ignore your phone calls. Hypocrites. Phonies. Just yesterday, there was a newspaper article how that the cell phone is killing marriages and killing families. Some of you people are cell phone sick. Oh, yes, you are. You're cell phone sick. You can't even sit down and eat lunch. You got your cell phone there. You can't eat dinner with your family. You got your cell phone nearby, right there, over the plate. It's killing marriages and killing families. And watch the joker who, they can't take a phone call on the inside. They got to go out and sit on the front porch. Watch them. They're doing something wrong. If they get that phone call and they can't say, "Hey, Andy, how you doing? How you doing, Betty? What's going on?" There's something wrong. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. They can't go to another room. They got to go outside. I've seen people standing outside their house talking on their phone. There's something wrong. Misplaced love. Misplaced love. So think about the love that Jesus showed us. He healed the sick. Didn't ask for a dime. I'm glad that Benny Hinn came around. Fed the hungry. Forgave sinners. And rebuked evil. And rebuked the religious hypocrites. But most of all, he sacrificed himself so that we could be saved. And let me tell you about that story. Let me tell you this. Once you truly trust Christ as Savior, I am here to tell you that you will never get over that story. It is the broadest, widest, highest story in the history of the world. You'll never get over it. We sung earlier in our service here today, the love of God. You will never get over the love of God. I'm telling you, it's been 40 years for me, and I'm more amazed by it now than I was 40 years ago. And I understand it better. But you will never get your head around the love of God that would send His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and for Him to choose to suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. No man could have written a story like that. Only God. I love my creation so much, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to wrap myself in flesh, and I'm going to die for them myself, because I can't find nobody else. I'm going to do it. That's love for you. Okay? And yet we still walk around with our little pharisaically proud selves, can't love anybody. Can't love anybody in our own family. Mad as hell all the time. Now that's love for you. And you've never done anything close to that. You don't even want to share your cookies. You don't even want to share your lunch. You don't even want to give somebody $5 to help them out. So to love other Christians means to treat them not necessarily, yes, to treat them as we would like to be treated, but also, more importantly, how God treated us. Treat them the way God treated us. And you can only do that by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Those who are hating their brothers while claiming to be Christians are actually still walking in darkness. Now, there are people who really have a problem with hate. That's not my problem. My problem is with being tempted with beautiful women. That's my temptation. I don't have the temptation of hating people. But there are people who do. That's why they need this message. And they know who they are. And they're under conviction right now. Just like I would be under conviction if somebody was preaching on lust. Or at least being tempted by other women. Dr. John Piper said that's not his problem. He's never had that issue. And I say, that's good. I believe him. But he has confessed to another problem. He had a problem with hate at one time. Great man of God. But Jesus and the Word of God, because he's a great student of the Word of God, delivered him. And Jesus and the Word of God can deliver you. These people who hate, they are walking in the darkness of an unregenerate mind and soul rather than one which has been saved and redeemed through Christ. The hateful person does not know where he is going spiritually. His eyes may be open on earth to see where he is going physically, but he does not know his final destination. There are many hateful people who think they are on the stairway to heaven. And by the way, Daniel Ezekiel, there's another song about Stairway to Heaven. But they have been blinded by spiritual darkness and do not know that they are on the highway to hell. And Daniel Ezekiel, there's another song called The Highway to Hell. Beloved, a true Christian will strive to love his brothers. He will have it in his heart to do that. And yes, like every other thing you need to do as a Christian, there's the will factor, there's the choice factor. But God will give you the grace to choose to just overlook mess, overlook people's foolishness, overlook their hatred, and just chill and love people anyhow. You're going to have to do that with your spouse, whether you like it or not. Oh, I thought we're going to just stay all warm and fuzzy and romantically and just head over heels with each other for all of our marriage. No, you will not. No. C.S. Lewis had the wisdom to bring that out in his book, Mere Christianity. He said, it's impossible for you to stay that way. How would you do your job? How would you do other things if you stayed that way? Hearts coming out of your head all the time. No, man, no. It's not going to stay that way forever. Falling in love and all of that. So a true Christian will strive with God's help and grace to love his brothers and sisters, even though he may fall sometimes in other areas. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. If you fall 6 times, 7 times in hatred, get back up. One of the tragedies of life is that people who fail at something, they don't get back up and dust themselves off and get back on the horse, man. And so many people have been lost to that tragedy. So many folks. So many folks. When you fall down, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing else you can do but get back up. The gospel singer wrote a song about it and sung about it. We fall, but we get up. The children of God get back up. Get back on the horse, man, woman, and ride again. And if you fall again, get back up. If you are falling into hatred, get back up. Repent. Get resurrected by the grace of God and start loving people again. And if you cuss somebody else out, then, you know, repent and confess your sin, get back up and love them again. Apologize and say, I shouldn't have said that. He or she will ultimately show the love of Christ to others because he is walking in the light of God, by the grace of God, and with Jesus Christ in their hearts. And by the way, for how can you say you are a follower of God, a believer in Christ, and hate other people when the Holy Bible says God is love? But you hate, so how is that going to work? You hate your parents. For what? No reason. You hate your sister. You hate your brother. You hate your wife. You hate your husband. You hate your boss. You just had the job for 2 days. You still, now you hate your boss. You smiled and grinned to get the job. Now you're mad as the devil. You hate your coworkers. C.S. Lewis talked about that. Love and like and all of that kind of thing. He basically said you don't have to like people, but you do have to love them. And that's a greater responsibility. You may not like what people do, how they carry themselves. Have you ever met anybody, they just rub you the wrong way? What is that? But you're still obligated as a Christian to love them like Christ loved you. And you're still obligated to treat them as you want to be treated. So basically, C.S. Lewis said, away with the loving feeling or the liking feeling. Just act like you love them. Behave like you love them. That's real love anyway. It's the God kind of love. There's no reason why God should love me or you. He chooses to do so in spite of ourselves. And if you are going to be a follower of God and Jesus, you need to do the same. So dear friend, dear Christian friend, if you're listening today, you're watching, here are 3 things you need to do. Number 1, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number 2, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same. They know where their sin is on an individual basis. And thirdly, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost, reaching anybody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those of us who are born again Christians, where we need to confess sin and repent. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do so. And Lord, help us to repent on the inside. Help us to change. And there are people, even in the church, who still have hatred in their hearts towards people who are different. And Lord, now we know it is all rooted in pride, stubbornness, Pharisaic pride, rebelliousness, stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, hard-headedness, meanness. And Lord, we pray that for those who have that problem, help them to confess their sins and to repent. Those of us who don't have that problem, but we have to face that problem and deal with it, help us to be loving and forgiving and let some things go and avoid unnecessary confrontations. And Lord, help us all to grow and be the Christians you want us to be, loving and forgiving one another, and being the shining lights and witnesses that we should be. Help us to obey the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him so that you can be saved from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in an eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God from the Pope on down. Even the Dalai Lama said he sinned on down. Every last one of us have failed God. We have fallen short. We are sinners. All preachers are sinners. Wicked, no good sinners. I know they don't like to hear it, but it's true. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. Always, we all know it to be so. In the family, people must be punished for sin. In society, people must be punished for sin. In politics, people must be punished for sin. In every area of life, in every country of the world, some punishment is more severe than others in different locations, but sin must be punished. In some countries, if you steal something, they will cut your hands off. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die. These wonderful lives that we live, just remarkable. The brain, the eyes, the ears that God has created, these magnificent bodies will cease to exist. They will drop dead in the future if you're not dead already, because of S-I-N, sin. That's why. And that's why we have funerals. That's why we have funeral homes. That's why we have graveyards. Your body will go to a grave. Your soul will go to hell if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. We're not talking about church membership. Church membership cannot save you. We're not talking about getting baptized. Baptism cannot save you. All that is good stuff. Giving money, but I gave $1 million to the church. It means nothing. You can't buy your way into heaven. You don't have enough money. You never will have enough money. It's not about what you do, what you have done, the good works you have done. That can't save you. Only believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ, praying and asking Him to come into your heart to save your soul. And you need to do that because, thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell as I speak. Hell is a very real place. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you don't have to commit another sin. You have committed enough, and you're on your way to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and by the way, you can be dead 2 hours from now. Nobody feels like they're going to die the day that they're living, but so many have died. Take the gentleman who was working on a hotel. Thousands and thousands of hotels like it have been built. There was no wind blowing, no hurricane, no tornado, nothing. But down in New Orleans, the building just began to collapse terribly. And they pulled out a body, not a living person, but a body on yesterday. Professional carpenter, worker, doing his job. And a building begins to fall down on top of you, and you're already up in the air. Somebody just died on a highway while I was speaking here and preaching. You can leave here anytime. You can die at any moment, dear friend. Jesus Christ said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You don't have control over your death. That ought to make you very humble, and that ought to make you very interested in what I'm telling you. You need your eternal life insurance policy. I know people, they got car insurance, they got RV insurance, and they got the money to pay for it. They have medical insurance galore. Thousands upon thousands of dollars of medical insurance. They have $1 million life insurance policy in case they die. But they don't have the eternal life insurance policy. And that's why I'm here, to give you the eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of Jesus. You need that more than you need your life insurance, your health insurance, your car insurance, your RV insurance, your business insurance. You need your eternal life insurance policy, dear friend. For the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Trust Christ today. Why? Because hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in St. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Have you trusted Christ as Savior yet? Have you been born again yet? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell, for I am guilty. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Fill me with the heart of your love. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in St. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, or you may be on a site that has GLS at gospellightsociety.com, or some other email. Just contact us on whatever email is in front of you, or whatever information is in front of you, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.